thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is an abomination. Well, that's Leviticus 18:22 from the King James Bible.
And you're listening to Dan by Dan.
What's really funny about that is it's thou, it's not man shall not lie with man. So I think what they're really saying there is like, lesbians, go for it.
But, go for it. Lesbianism, all good with God.
But women, you should not be sleeping with men.
So lesbianism is the only pure path, is yeah. That's what I'm hearing here.
Yeah, I think so. Oh, you do have the New Living Translation. That one we read before was from the King James Bible. So the New Living Translation says, do not practice homosexuality. Having sex with another man as with a woman, it is a detestable sin.
Well, trust me, sex with a man is not like sex with a woman. So
because you've had practice with a woman? You can make a comparative.
I've imagined it in my head, and it's definitely different.
I think they kind of missed the point of homosexuality. I think that means like same sex, not just men having sex with men. Now they're saying lesbianism is a problem. These guys really just don't get it.
They don't get it at all.
Leviticus, you fail.
So welcome to Dan by Dan, the podcast where we dissect the Bible and criticize every line.
No, we're celebrating the Bible.
We celebrate diversity in all its forms.
Yes.
Except when it's stupid.
Yeah. What are you doing here, then?
Wow, we're going to get some really angry tweets and comments on this one.
Ooh, yeah. GOPers for the win. So, let's get some 9/11 truthers hitting us up on.
Some anti-vaxxers.
Anti-vaxxers.
I'm loving them right now. Yeah. They're endless fodder.
Mm-hmm. Bring on the anti-vaxxers.
Yeah. Who else has been really getting our goat over the last week?
The Liberal Party. Surprise, surprise.
Oh, he made another captain's call. After he promised to make no more captain's calls. That lasted like 3 days.
Yeah, let's get rid of the census too. Who needs data? Like, why would you want to make policy based on real facts?
I know. Oh, it's too painful. It's too painful. Let's not go there. We don't want to bring everyone down.
Okay, so the pH stands this week. We've been doing some research. Some very, like, detailed reading, and we basically think that we need to encourage men to take it up the butt.
Yeah. This is our cause that we're going to take up the mantle and we're going to bring it to the people.
And we've come up with a good name for it. We're calling it the Prostate Project. The poor old prostate. It gets a bit neglected in most men, doesn't it? It gets forgotten.
Yeah, especially in our relationship.
And anyway, the poor old prostate for many men around the world. It doesn't get stimulated that often.
And lies there, dormant.
We think that anal stimulation is really important. In fact, we have it on good authority from people who know much better than us that it's easier to access than stimulating the vaginal canal. And you can do some amazing things with the prostate. I mean, it's a fun fact, but you can actually get men to ejaculate without erection by stimulating the prostate.
There's a reason why they call it the male G-spot.
It's very easy to find, just in and down.
2 inches up.
Like a chestnut, isn't it?
Well, so I've read on askmen.com. Very informative, very nice little...
Just in and behind the scrotum.
It was a great little article, though, on like how to explore your own body for men. And it wasn't targeted at any particular sexuality or anything like that. It was just encouraging men to know their own bodies.
And, well, that's the thing, you know. It doesn't have to be gay. I mean, if there's anyone out there that's buff, tradey, and curious, we'd be more than happy to help you find it. But it doesn't have to be. Digital stimulation by a female or playing with toys, butt plugs, it can all be completely heterosexual.
Absolutely. We want to debunk this idea that anal penetration is somehow a homosexual act.
But part of the reason why we're bringing this up is because it does have a bit to do with, well, it's not really homophobia as much as sexism. And I think there's been some great research. We'll post some very academic links and some funny videos. But basically, the research says that part of constructing heteronormative masculinity has been about men being the perpetrators and women being receptive.
Perpetrators or penetrators, penetrators,
that's what I was getting at. That's the word that I meant to use. But basically, men have... conceive themselves as the penetrators, and part of like their aversion to homosexuality traditionally, I mean, I know men are getting, straight men are getting better, but part of their aversion has been this kind of psychoanalytical fear of their vulnerability if they were penetrable, if they admitted that their own bodies can be receptive. And, you know, it's all part of really what is masculine supremacy. So we have male privilege, which feminists are in a better place to speak to, and they do a wonderful job of speaking to that. But there's also this idea of masculine supremacy, which is where, as a society, we basically give higher value to those qualities that we consider to be traditionally masculine: power, aggression, assertiveness. And we undervalue those traits that we consider to be feminine. And that's part of where, like, this homophobic rhetoric comes from, because we describe homosexuals, gay men in particular, as A, receptive partners, and B, as feminine. So we want to challenge that. We want to encourage men that actually it's a good thing to embrace your femininity. And we want to run a bit of a marketing campaign on this, don't we?
Yeah, so we want you to come up, our three fans on Twitter, to come up with a great slogan for the Prostate Project that encapsulates what we're trying to do in a succinct and social media savvy way.
Yeah, like a kind of hashtag.
A hashtag.
Or you could take on Julie Bishop's theme this week and go for like a two emoji slogan.
Something using the eggplant emoji, I'm sure, would work very well.
It's great for butt sex. Eggplant and butt sex. Now we're getting kinky.
Not as kinky as last week. Or the first episode. We went fisting in the first episode.
Yeah,
eggplants.
Eggplants. It's nothing. So basically, yeah, we're encouraging men. The Prostate Project, it's all about taking it up the butt. Just, you know, try it yourself at home in the shower.
And if someone could let BuzzFeed know, that'd be awesome.
Yeah, you know, forget Tay for Hottest 100. We can get, I think this hashtag is important. We need lube for PBS. Because if you're going to do anything with anal, we need lube. Lube is obviously important. So we need
lube is not cheap.
No. So we need to get this on the health benefits scheme because, you know, it should be compensated. I think this is a national health issue to get men taking it up the butt.
Yeah, well, you wanted to keep the relationship flexible. Remember, it's your phrase.
But you're having an affair with your college professor, that jerk that teaches that incredible crap course, Contemporary Crisis in Western Man.
Existential motifs in Russian literature. You're really close.
What's the difference? It's all mental masturbation.
Oh, well, now we're finally getting to a subject you know something about.
Hey, don't knock masturbation. It's sex with someone I love.
Ready?
Dun, dun, dun. It's time for the Nicholas game. So who are our nominees this week? Would you like to introduce them, or would you like me to introduce them?
Can I nominate you for that terrible introduction?
Fantastic.
All right, first up we have
Sam Smith. Now, bringing Sam Smith up again, it's a little bit old news, his comments, but he's just won a Grammy, which is great.
Four Grammys.
Four Grammys. Well, I didn't even follow that news story. Clearly I cared. I mean, I like his music. Musically. Lyrically, not so much.
Yeah, and I do like it. I can respect the talent there, but his voice does grate on me a little in some of the songs.
Anyway, this isn't a music review. Anyway. The reason that we brought Sam Smith up is because, well, as the Gawker headline puts it, Sam Smith's fucked up gay conservatism, which, like, I have mixed feelings about this. The first thing is, he's a musician. So why we are looking to him to be a queer rights advocate, I don't know.
Exactly. Just because he's gay, why does he have to be a spokesperson for the entire community?
Man likes the D, and so now we think that he's an expert on queer theory and gay rights. But he has spoken out, and he has made some statements to the effect that Grindr is terrible, it's ruining the art of dating, we shouldn't go on there.
And we are here to rebuke that, well and truly.
Because we found, well, something kind of like love, I guess. You're making me be soppy.
Yeah, it's okay to be. We found love on Grindr.
Yeah. And we'll find many more loves on Grindr, hopefully. Fingers crossed. But yeah, I guess just Sam Smith. And also his other argument is that he keeps his songs are they gender neutral, or does he just keep them heterosexual?
No, because his latest video is a gay wedding.
Oh, okay. Well, in the past,
keeping to the conservative theme, but
yeah, exactly. Gay marriage is a conservative cause. We all know that one. But Sam Smith you know, he's talked about in the past wanting his songs to appeal to everyone, so he doesn't want the gay thing to be too much of a thing. Because, you know, like, my mum says it's okay that you like men. Well, actually, no, she's come around, but, you know, several people have said, it's okay that you like men, I just don't want you to be a flaming faggot. You know, that's their issue. And I'm sorry, but that's A, homophobic, and B, kind of sexist, because, again, you're just saying that it's okay that you sleep with men as long as you're still masculine. We don't want you to, you know, put nail polish on and lip gloss and have some fun.
All right, who's next?
So next we have Florence and the Machine.
I'm really proud of this one.
This is such a good video. So Florence and the Machine have released a new song called What Kind of Man and an accompanying music video.
And the music video, it's confronting in a very good way.
Yeah.
It uses interpretive dance to essentially represent what is a violent relationship. And it's not just one-sided violence.
No.
There is definitely, they are a couple in a very unhealthy relationship.
And I think it also talks about, you know, the complexity of the emotions involved. It's not just saying, you know, because unfortunately in these cases of intimate partner violence, there is
a connection brought on by the suffering.
Yeah.
And she talks about that in the beginning of the video. It's done like a bit of a short film. So it has a really, it brings a sensitivity to the debate about domestic violence in such a unique way.
But it's also just a really beautifully shot, beautifully performed film, and the music is incredible.
It's a really good song.
Really.
Even good on its own, the song sent shivers down my spine. There's a few lines in there that are just really quite shocking, and it's really, it's quite raw for her, the whole experience, the song, and the, and it's but way more rock than what she's done before.
It's way more rock, but I think, like, the, in terms of lyrical, like, she's always pushed boundaries. Girl with One Eye, you know, has definitely got some really edgy lyrical lines in it. But
And she's actually tackled this before with Kiss with a Fist.
Yeah.
Which was less subtle on her first album. So
anyway, so big props to Florence and the Machine.
Yeah, exactly. And we're also loving Ryan Murphy this week for his latest project.
So he's released a kind of, well, it's kind of a, but it's more of a teaser.
It's a teaser.
It's very short, like, apparently they haven't even started production, but his new show called Scream Queens.
And we're getting very excited for Scream Queens. Because
we are Scream Queens.
And it's the Glee American Horror Story mashup that we've all been waiting for.
Yeah.
All being me.
But basically, it's set in a sorority house. It's got Lea Michele. It's got, oh gosh,
Ariana Grande, Nick Jonas. But most excitingly of all, it's got Jamie Lee Curtis in the starring role.
That's very exciting.
That's cool. She's the original Scream Queen.
So, yeah, looking forward to Ryan Murphy's new show.
That's really all there is to say. I'm just excited about a fun new project coming along, and I hope it lives up to expectations.
And we also have today on the list someone who's a bit less familiar, which is Eduardo Camarena. And most of you haven't heard of him probably because he's an architect. But the reason we have him on our list today is because he has made a proposal for a new building. It's a new skyscraper. And
It looks like what I gave you for Valentine's Day.
The D.
The D.
The D. It is... I mean, we have to give him props. It's very realistic because it's kind of short and squat and bent.
And it's kind of bent, yeah. It's,
yeah. It's very realistic, you know. We're not... when there's some definite body positivity things going on here because he's not trying to glamorize this big, tall, straight thing. It's...
And the way it works is, like, when the windows or something are open, it becomes ribbed.
Yeah. So, well we're not sure here. Like, is it phallic then? Is it just like a penis with a ribbed condom? Or is it more of a sex toy?
I mean,
it's very modernist. It's got some high tech stuff going on, so it could be like a vibrating skyscraper. DIY guys.
You have to just go and look at this picture to understand what we're talking about.
Again,
most
we'll all be on the blog, but
like, you know, everybody talks about how phallic that famous building in London is. This puts that to shame.
Yeah, the Gherkin has nothing on this.
Exactly. Basic Instinct 3 will have to be shot using this as a backdrop.
So yeah, props to Edward Camarena for making the phallic skyscraper even more phallic. Up next, okay. This was a pretty great performance, wasn't it?
It's not often that I watch Q&A and don't want to throw my iPad through the TV screen by the end of it.
Especially when there's politicians on.
Especially when there's Liberal politicians on.
But Labour frontbencher Catherine King was on Q&A this week, and we were talking about children in detention, which is a terrible issue. Of course, it's a horrible issue, and nobody wants children in detention. But what was so fantastic is that for one of the only times I can ever remember, she claimed responsibility, and she said, we screwed up, and was willing to say on national television that they got it wrong and that they didn't do as well as they could. And as sad as it is that they got it wrong in the first place, it is really great to hear a politician actually admitting that.
The last time I heard a politician admit that was Gina Davis as Commander-in-Chief back in 2004.
So, yeah, massive props to Catherine King for taking ownership of that problem.
It was just a really inspiring moment. It was such a breath of fresh air. And, of course, up against Malcolm Turnbull, who was just playing the word games for the entire episode.
Yes.
It really stood out.
So our last contender, though, is a little bit of a sad note. I'm thinking about filing a lawsuit, really. You may have noticed on Twitter and social media this week, even on the Project show, I think.
They get all the attention, we do all the hard work.
Exactly. So basically, someone has decided to rip off the idea from my blog, inappropriatelybaked.wordpress.com, by the way.
And the idea for our podcast, Two People With The Same Name Make A Cute Show.
And basically, they've made The Catering Show with a K, which is two Kates, doing a parody food video.
And it's really funny.
And it's really good, and they're probably better than us.
And they've got like 250,000 views on one video already. And
but I have to say, they didn't just plagiarise me, because I already plagiarised Audrey's Kitchen from the ABC.
It's true, and that's a good little two-minute show as well. Is that coming back?
I don't know if it's coming back, but you can still find the videos on YouTube. We're going to link to them as well because, you know, Orgy was the original.
It's 2 minutes of politically basically incorrect. Politically incorrect Nigella parody.
Yeah, and it's fantastic. So that wraps up our nominees. Now we have to award some
short and sweet this week, but a lot more happy in there than usual.
Yeah, we're giving a lot more props.
It's hard to pick number one. I'm actually, highest honours. Who is... Zero being an awful individual, and who is almost Nick Hollis awesomeness?
I think Florence has to get the almost Nick Hollis awesomeness.
Yeah. She really opened really up a conversation. And
that is a video that I can watch again and again and again.
And smart and mature, and I cannot find a fault in it.
I'm going to go out on a limb here and say I even think that this might be better than the Blank Space video.
It's a lot better than the Blank Space video.
Oh, come on.
I know that'll lose us, like, every listener now, but it's so much better than the Blank Space video.
Okay. So Florence gets the top position. I feel like Ryan Murphy, he kind of loses props because Glee went off the rails massively for a long time.
I've enjoyed the final season.
Dan stuck with it. I've come back around. He finally talked me into it and I got desperate and bored watching a couple of episodes. So it has
it's
gotten
basically
better.
Basically just Sue ripping everyone apart, including the show's own creators now. It's fun.
But there was a time when it was terrible. Like, it went massively off the rails. So Ryan Murphy kind of comes down a few notches for that.
Fine. Catherine King gets second place.
Yes, definitely.
The Catering Show gets third place.
No, The Catering Show loses. They stole my idea.
Oh.
They're stealing my blog.
Oh, yeah. Take it up
I'm
with
sorry.
Your...
Felix Skyscrapers over Catering Show anyway.
No, Catering Show over Felix Skyscrapers. We don't need any more masculine bravado on our city skylines. Thank you very much.
And Sam Smith loses.
That's like... If he's the loser this week, it was a good list. There were some great people in there.
That's true. That's true.
There's no minus points this week.
Sam Smith's really not that great for me, though.
Yeah, but look.
He's not terrible. He's not awful.
Exactly. There are far greater issues in the world today than Sam Smith.
I'm going to kill you, Father. I'm going to kill you because you've done nothing wrong. I'm going to kill you because you're innocent. Not right now, though. I give you enough time to put your house in order. Make your peace with God. Sunday week, let's say. I'll meet you down on the beach there. Down by the water there. Killing a priest on a Sunday. That'll be a good one.
Are you going to sing it again? Fact versus fiction.
Hey, you sing. Yeah, there you go. Weren't you supposed to be some child singing star or something like that?
I was until I hit puberty.
Ugh. Puberty blues.
Puberty ruins everything. I was like...
Didn't you become like a puberty blues singer? Like get a bit deeper.
Save the dad jokes for family dinner.
So in film versus fiction this week, we're taking on it's a rather conventional topic, nothing too controversial. We wouldn't want to
alienate our listeners.
We wouldn't want to piss people off by calling anything fiction if it wasn't really fiction, like the Bible, which we're reviewing this week.
And I was just overjoyed when he told me that I was going to have to read the Bible for the first time since, like, my grandma read me the children's illustrated version when I was 7.
But since the Bible is definitely and unequivocally fiction...
We're not arguing with you on this point. So don't even bother trying to tweet us about this one.
Oh, no, bring it on. Come on.
Bring it on.
Bit of Twitter
we'll
storm,
win, but...
Yeah. So, basically, we're reviewing the film Calvary. And we're also reviewing chapter 23 from Luke's Gospel of the King James Bible. So we should probably start with the film. So for Calvary, well, first impressions.
Beautiful film. I love the cinematography. Every shot was so masterfully crafted and just visually sumptuous. There was so much to take in and look at that it kind of almost distracted me from the story because I was just... paying so much attention to the landscapes and the set design and the...
Can I say, though, it was kind of like a collage of every other director's frames.
I don't agree.
Like, you were like, oh, we're watching this nice film. And then, oh, here's Wes Anderson starring for a shot.
Okay, but the thing is that the story essentially is that a priest hears a confession and the man who's confessing says he's going to kill him 1 week hence. And so he gets a week to put his affairs in order. So we just follow him on this 1 week until he shows up on the beach, right? And the whole point is that the characters in the town that he has to deal with are so caught in their own tiny little worlds. This whole film is about selfishness and narcissism. And so the different cinematic techniques and the different scenes represent their world, their self obsession.
Yeah, but I think it's important to mention that a lot of the problems they have do kind of extend from religious repression, I guess. Like, I think there are certainly...
That's what's so strange about the film. It's one half celebration of religion and it's the other half condemnation.
And it definitely makes you feel sorry for the priest. He's definitely isolated by all these people that in this 21st century world are very critical of the place of church and...
It also makes you feel sorry for him because you can't argue he is a good man. He is not harboring pedophilic tendencies.
Did you say you can argue that he's a good man?
Yes, he's a good man. And he is also struggling with the bad reputation that the Catholic Church has brought on itself, which he doesn't argue against, but as one individual... He has not perpetrated any of this, being in his small town, and yet he suffers the backlash for all of that. And it does bring it down to a really personal level where you do suddenly realize, because I am very critical of all religion, but especially of Catholicism and recent revelations of what the church has done, and yet these individuals are not bad individuals. So I think
that's a really important point because it's great that something makes Dan question because I grew up a Catholic and fortunately came out as a flaming homosexual and ran away from the church. But, you know, my parents, my family are still involved with the church. And so I have a sympathy towards it. So when Dan goes on some of his atheist rants, I get a little bit defensive because I question and I challenge and I have problems with the church, but I also see that it does, a lot of people are well-intentioned and they are doing a lot of good through the church. So it's important to balance those. And the film does a beautiful job of creating that. And I have to say, I am always incredibly critical of endings of films. And I loved this one.
Oh, wow, because I thought we were going to argue about the ending because I was really shaken by it, but in a very good way. I thought it was a fantastic ending, and obviously being Calvary, made sense given the title of the film. I also wanted to say that I think if you do go and watch this film, it is supposed to be a solitary experience. Just like his life and his little journey throughout the week is a very solitary one. Because some films are made to be enjoyed in a cinema with lots of people, and some films are made to be enjoyed on your own. And Dan and I watched this together, and I found it a little hard to sort of engage with and concentrate.
I think that was probably partly to do with the fact that we'd had a lot of wine.
We had a few. Stop making people seem like we're alcoholics.
A few for us is binge drinking, according to, you know, health guidelines. But
anyway, my point is our wonderful MBN connection fucked up, so we couldn't even finish the film together. And I watched the ending of it alone, and I was so much more connected and enthralled in this.
Also, we should make it just a quick point about the casting. It is pretty much a continuous stream of, like, British...
Who's that of British film and television?
You know, all those faces that, like, oh, he's that guy that, you know, the funny one that plays that role, but you never...
We kept having to get IMDb out and check to see who they were.
Anyway, so moving on to our fiction for the week. Are you excited?
I'm so, so freaking excited. You have no idea.
So basically, we read chapter 23 of Luke's Gospel, which, for those of you who don't know, is, like, the...
marching Jesus to Calvary to crucify him.
So basically it's relevant this week because it's when, you know, he gets a death sentence. And my first point to make in review is it's trial by the people. Both Pilate, who Dan thought was Pilates, Pontius Pilate, I swear he's spelled elsewhere as P-I-L-O-T. Anyway, him and Herod, they're the men in charge, and they basically say that he should go free, and the crowd just shouts. It's like Twitter. You know, fire him, fire him, fire him. That's what Twitter's like these days, isn't it? Just like trial by the people.
I don't think I got that deep into this.
Okay. So, yeah.
I was more taken with things like they mocked him, but then they gave him beautiful robes.
Oh, yeah. They basically dressed Jesus up in jag.
Yeah. So... were they mocking him for making him wear... it doesn't say female clothes. It just says beautiful robes. I didn't understand why they would give him nice clothes. So I got a bit stuck on that point. I also got stuck on the great line that is, the people followed and so did the women. Because women aren't people. That was fun.
It's kind of like when your grandparents were talking about DFAT workers getting sent overseas, and then there would be a telegram that would say, wife and baggage to follow.
Such a good line. My family have some great stories. We'll share them one day. But anyway, in contrast to the film, obviously the film deliberately parallels this kind of crucifixion and trial by the people.
Mm.
So that's why it was fitting that we...
it's just not, like, it's not a very compelling story. I'm sorry. Like,
gosh, you guys need to write a better story. It is so bland. Seriously, this makes E.L. James' writing seem like literature.
Crucify him, they said. Crucify him. Like, it's just...
Jesus was by far the best spoken. You've got some nice lines.
He puts some lines together well. But yeah, it's just...
Also, blessed are the barren, and the wombs that never bear, and the paps which never gave suck.
So is he like, he's like all for...
infertility.
Well, spinsters, like, bring on the single ladies. See? All my single ladies, all my single ladies. Sorry.
Shh. But I thought that line was really interesting because people don't seem to bring this one up.
Sorry, can I just go back a second? I tell you, back in my clubbing days, all those years and years ago, I was the master of the single ladies dance.
Yeah, that is not something that you should be admitting on in public.
On national podcast. On international podcast.
Yeah, exactly. So basically, Jesus would have loved Julia Gillard when she was being... forgive the term, crucified by the media for not having children.
Mm.
I don't remember this being brought up. I wish I'd known.
Yeah.
That's all.
But she did lieth with man.
She did lieth with man. And that's why...
so that's why Penny Wong should be Prime Minister.
Exactly. She's a lesbian. And from what we can see, the Lord is fine with that.
Yeah.
But she does have children. But I think her partner had them. Not her.
Well, let's not get into semantics. I think my favorite line, though, is like the very last, when we get to verse 56, And Jesus has been put into his little tomb, and they say, and they returned and prepared spices and ointments and rested on the Sabbath day according to the commandment. I really like that. It's like, okay, we've dealt with the body now. We've thrown it in. Now let's just chill out for Sunday, like Sunday sesh.
Because that's what Jesus would have wanted.
Yeah, let's just chill out, a few cocktails, crack a cold one, and, you know.
So which is better of the two?
The Bible or Calvary?
Look, I'm going with Calvary, the film, obviously.
Obviously, but I like, a part of me just wants to, like, play the devil's advocate and give it to the Bible, but, you know, it's just not that good. It's just...
It's not.
Like, why did people get obsessed with this for 2,000 years? It's really, like...
It's dry.
There's so much... Why can't we just get obsessed with the Iliad or something?
Yeah, that's the whole point here, is regardless of its truth, its message...
It's non-truth.
It's just really poorly written.
It's, yeah.
Or
maybe it's just maybe Luke. It's, I mean, we are just looking at Luke's gospel.
And maybe it sounded better in Latin.
Maybe.
But as far as storytelling and moral messages go, Calvary definitely wins.
Yeah, I think so. So basically...
It's still trial by the people. It was...
The takeaway from this episode really is, like, yay for the lesbians and...
I never thought I'd say that.
We're sinners.
I'm okay being a sinner, though.
You know, I'm happy to get down on my knees and repent anytime.
Exactly. And that's the only time I'm getting down on my knees. That's for sure. Oh, what am I kidding? I don't even get down on my knees for you. Certainly not getting down on my knees for Jesus.
So thanks for listening to the Dan by Dan podcast this week.
This concludes another thrilling episode.
And if you've got any thoughts on such non-controversial topics as religion, feminism, gender, or Sam Smith, please go and review us on iTunes. Positive reviews only, of course.
And feel free to tweet us. I'm at Dan Lives Here.
And I'm at Aidan C. Delaney.
And you can get our podcast at Dan_by_Dan.
Or if you want any more links or information from what we've discussed, check out our Tumblr page, danbydanpodcast.tumblr.com.
And as usual, thanks for listening.
So just a final note there, if there do happen to be any straight identifying but curious buff tradie straight men listening to the podcast,
feel free to direct message us. Yeah.
Yeah, we'd be happy to help you find that prostate.
More than happy. I mean, it's
public service.
Patriotic duty. Yeah.
We're very charitable people.